We're back on Steel Belted Radio, and
if you don't mind,
I've got so many stories.
I don't want your radio show to interfere with your conversations, no. Terry. But
I have so many stories here.
I'm fascinated by the guests. You know,
absolutely. I'm sure they'll be fascinated by you.
I don't think so.
No, I don't. I'll be running soon.
It's a pleasure to welcome back Chris and Chantel. I just noticed that coming up in September, it's the fifth anniversary of my Sunday show, Taliban to Go Home, 5 years ago.
Right. And my very first
guests were Chantel and Chris. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In September of 2002, wow. They came in here and Chris broke two strings at once.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was good times.
Wow.
I'm surprised you remember that because you had been up all night for about 2 days before that.
It's rare that I break two strings at one time.
Yeah. So what's been going on in 5 years? I mean, it's taken you 5 years to forgive me for whatever I did, and now you're back in the studio. It's good to have you.
Well, you know, my six pack has sort of disappeared a little bit.
It's turned into a barrel.
Got the body of a god, Buddha.
Yeah. But, you know, beef jerky and cheesies and good beer has gone to... on south, but we've been all over the place.
I know,
Diane and I. Yeah,
you're a busy guy.
We've traveled all about. We've been, you know, doing lots of recording.
Did a stint with a theater company.
Yeah, actually, I guess last time I talked to you, it was probably last summer in Calgary at the Calgary Folk Fest, and you were saying that you were doing music for the theater or something. What's that about?
I signed on with a theater company for like 8 or 9 months to be a part of a creative ensemble that was going to create new and adventurous and edgy and experimental works for the staid Calgary theater audience. You know,
give something
that would shock and annoy them, and we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shocked and annoyed them. Or even they didn't shock them, we more just annoyed them. But it was really good. Peter Mahler, our drummer, was part of it as well. There were some actors, there was a prose writer, there were some dancers from Poland, and it was a wonderful mix of people, and you know, I had a steady job being paid to go in and do yoga for an hour every morning and then create stuff and play around.
Really?
It wasn't that bad.
That's pretty cool. Like, how do you luck into a gig like that?
Luck into a gig like that. Well, you know, I met this guy at a party, got him high, and he said, hey, I'll join my theater company. It's that easy. No, it's, well, one of the things that's becoming more and more clear in Calgary as the art scene gets a bit of a better reputation. One of the reasons for that is because it's actually a pretty small, tight community. Everyone knows each other. Like, a lot of the theater people know the music people, who know the visual artists, who know,
right.
You know, so when it comes time to, you know, put on a show or do something, usually anyone interested in doing that has a pretty big, you know, a pretty solid pool of people that they've met many times and understand their work and know it. So the director of this company had, you know, seen me play before. I'd played fundraisers for his company. It's, you know, there's all this sort of crossover stuff.
How is the scene in Calgary these days? I mean, Calgary, I believe it's a little bit conservative, is it not, Calgary? Alberta?
I don't know how it gets that reputation. You know. I mean, just because it's had a conservative or social democratic government since 1912, it doesn't mean it's conservative. You know, it just means that we have a lot of things and we want to keep them. That's all.
Well, as you should.
Yeah. And we want more.
Yeah.
Well, sure, there's obviously a politically conservative element. But at the same time, it's not. It's kind of deceiving because, you know, easily if you were to look at, like, election polls and stuff, the Liberal and NDP together and the Greens sort of, you know, they end up being almost half of the total electorate. Like, a lot of the actual population in Calgary's and whatnot, not ultra-conservative. And definitely very few of the artists are. Occasionally I'll get, like, people sending me emails and say, I like your music even though we don't agree with things politically.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Yeah.
Because then I write back and say, well, what are my political beliefs? Tell me. And then we stop writing to each other. But, sure. It's a bit conservative, and sometimes it's difficult to kind of crack into, you know, it's tough to crack into the suburban market sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? Because unless you're playing, you know, American Pie at an Irish pub, there's not much chance anyone's going to listen to you.
But after after so many years, you must have a following of some sort.
Oh no, Calgary's great. It's definitely.
It is. Yeah, it's our hometown. Cool. Yeah.
No, we have a good wide spectrum of good friends and fans out there for sure.
And you guys have been getting out a lot these past few years. Anyway, you've been through town a bunch of times and have been east and west. And are you still visiting Australia and stuff as often as possible?
Not as often as possible anymore. We sort of went a bit crazy for a few years and visited like 5 times in 4 years. And it's, you know, obviously it was great fun. It was quite an adventure, but it takes a long time to get there. And the last time we went, I think, we just figured, you know, we were really giving it a good knock, and we found, you know, those 50 people that really, really got it, really got it. But we did a lot of great festivals there and a lot of good tours and met a lot of wonderful people, saw some incredible exotic bird life, and we'll definitely be going back.
Yeah.
Yeah, just taking a bit of a break from it.
I guess big for you. You got not one but 2 new records. You know, I was starting to wonder. It had been a bunch of years since you put out out Lark.
Mm-hmm. And there was Party All Night in between that.
Yeah, but I mean,
that was fun.
But you know, these are studio records, and I was, you know, it took a while, and I was wondering what was taking so long, and then you got 2 new records out of the deal.
Yeah, they were just festering. They're just bubbling up, and I kind of wanted to, you know, I mean, usually I get a lot of good advice from industry people, and they always say, you know, just release a little 4 or 5 song EP, just give people a little taste of something, you know, just a little something. So I figured I would release 2,
yeah, you had a
full
couple
length
of those
lyrically dense CDs at once. See how that went over.
How's the reaction been to the record? Are they getting out there now?
Yeah, they're getting out there nicely, and it's good to have to be selling them through the internet, because there are people who get turned on to them just by, you know.
Yeah.
Someone bought one in Illinois yesterday. I don't know.
Really?
I've never been there. So that was kind of good. And no, I have been to. I went to see the Ass Ponies in Chicago. Okay, but that's beside the point. They're going over well, and I mean, I made a point of making them. They are kind of stylistically a little different, so it's not like I'm just giving people tons of the same thing. They are, I think, they're sonically unique enough that one could pretend they're listening to 2 different acts if they wanted to.
Well, they are sort of different. One is "Go Away with Me," and the other one is perhaps the best album title I've heard in a long time. "The Guilt and the Shame, Tales of the Canadian West." I absolutely love that. I think that's brilliant. But can you tell me a bit about the difference between the records? Like,
The "Go Away with Me" is I wouldn't say sort of more melodic, because there's a lot of melodic stuff in the spoken word one too. But it's more focused on, you know, there's some violin and more full band stuff and organ, and it's kind of, they're more stories about travel and adventure and all sorts of things. The spoken word one was actually half of the stuff I'd had before, but half of it was written after I got a grant from Canada Council to finish doing it. And the whole thing I pitched was that I wanted to do something regionally kind of specific, something about Alberta and the Western experience, but kind of the creepy underbelly of the Western Canadian experience, if there was one. And if there was one, I wanted to discover it. So that was part of the mission, was to find and flush out some interesting stories from that, from Alberta, Saskatchewan, and put them into spoken word pieces. And so that one I recorded basically all by myself in Montreal, using kind of very simple equipment. So it's sonically, I think, pretty different for that reason.
Yeah, for sure. And people who've seen you in concert, I mean, for me, like, the joy of Chris Demeanor has always been the live show. Like, live, you're so much fun. And there's sort of both these elements. There's the great songs, and then there's the stories and the wackiness that goes along with it. And I think sort of both records kind of encompass different parts of what make Chris Demeanor so great.
Oh, thanks.
And I was saying this before, and not just because you're here, but I think, especially, I mean, "Go Away with Me" is one, and I was just listening to it on the way over here. Absolutely fantastic. Definitely, dare I say, your most accessible work yet. Like,
that's what I've been going for. I mean, people will argue sometimes that, you know, artists are just doing things on their own terms and they're just trying to please themselves, but I'm trying to please the masses.
Well,
always have been. I've always wanted to write accessible pop hits, and I think that that album, like you say, is close.
Has the largest.
No, I'm not. I'm not joking. I think there are a couple of things that could be played on the radio, that people could hum along to, that could be turned into either commercials or dance hits in Europe. I think, and
I gave you a compliment. Being, now you're mocking.
I'm not mocking you, Jeff. I'm serious. I think that it is the most accessible of the bunch so far.
I think it's a fine record, and you use the word melodic, and I think that's it's jam packed with good little ditties that I can get to, but it's still got the great stories and the great lyrics and the great sort of scenes that you paint. I love it. I think they're both great. Right.
Good.
Would you play us a song? I see you're
well, yeah.
Fired up.
Is there anything you'd like us to play? Why don't you pick one from the CD, and we'll see if we can do it.
Well, I mean, I love It's Got to Be Wild or Not at All, or One Shoe is always a favorite.
Well, we could do One Shoe, maybe. What, do you remember that one, Sean?
I have my cable, but that's
okay. Oh.
He came to the door with a folder of prints, familiar cliches, traditional motifs. He said, I've got to do the feathers and the wolves for the money. People eat them up, but I've got some here that come from my life. A rusted car, a school fight, got my girlfriend to pose for 2 days. It's called Patience after the Guns N' Roses song. And this one is called One Shoe. Neil Stone Child was frozen on the edge of Saskatoon 12 years ago. And now the body and the case have been exhumed. It's come to light that in the dead of winter nights, cold and remote, the Saskatoon police have taken men on one-way rides. Police chief quote, it's happened more than once. We fully admit that. On behalf of the department, I want to apologize. And we must take ownership of the things that have transpired. Neil was 17 in a group home for B&E, was in AA but had been drinking on the night. He and Jason rang some bells, knocked on doors, looking for a friend. The cops were called, the boys split up. 15 minutes later, Jason saw Neil handcuffed and bleeding in the back of the cruiser, screaming, looking scared. Help me, they're gonna kill me. One shoe. Neil's body was discovered 5 days later on the outskirts. Jason gave two statements to police, but they weren't taken. The death deemed accidental, the official version being that Neil Stonechild was on his way to turning himself in to an adult penitentiary at minus 28 with one shoe. An inquiry was launched 12 years later after Rodney Nastis froze to death and Lawrence Wegner froze to death and Lloyd Dustyhorn froze to death and Daryl Knight nearly did but lived to prove abduction and abandonment were common practice. Still, the original case files concerning Neil were destroyed in renovations. RCMP investigations failed to find evidence for prosecution. So in a cloud of suspicion, the hearings start October. Neil's mother just wants closure. One shoe. Neil Stonechild was a wrestler and a painter, and I think you would have liked this one. He must have lost it running. He should have tied the laces. It symbolizes something. Mistakes, getting chased, empty spaces. One shoe, one shoe, one shoe, one.
Fantastic. True story?
Yes, a true story. That was sort of a thanks to CBC story. I was riding back from a tour from Vancouver to Calgary and heard an hour-long radio documentary on that story.
Oh.
Yeah, and was, I mean, really moved and affected by it. It was, yeah. I mean, I hadn't really heard about it in the papers much. It started coming out more a few months ago when the inquiry was actually going on. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you know, it wasn't in the Calgary press. So I was amazed to hear about that story. So I went home and kind of researched it. And yeah, so all those kind of quotes and details are pretty much as accurate as I could make them.
Is it harder to take a true story and make a good song out of it, or is it easier just make stuff up?
I kind of like to do both sometimes. Yeah. I couldn't do it with that story because that would have been a little, you know,
yeah.
That wouldn't have been the right thing to do. I prefer to usually take an element of the factual and then spin a story around it. But at the same time, there's so many just excellent real life, you know, real life dramas and real life stories and incredible pet adventures and what's the show you like?
Animal Miracles?
Animal Miracles. There are hundreds of animal miracles out there just waiting to have songs written about them. I like delving into the imagination once in a while, but I just love a good raw story and just trying to put it into an appropriate song format, I suppose.
Do you have to seek those out, or do they just kind of come upon you like that one just sort of came on the CBC?
I'm always
right
on the lookout for them, I think. I don't actively seek them out, but I'm always looking at, you know, the human interest stories on the back page of the B section of the Globe and Mail to see about, or the odd news and events on Yahoo and stuff, like the guy who, you know, the world's tallest man who reached his arm into the dolphins to take out those chunks of plastic they'd eaten and save their lives. I mean, come on, that's not a song. What is? That's a book.
That reminds me of one of my favorite Chris Demeanor moments, and I mean, if there was ever any doubt that you were a very clever gentleman, it was at the Regina Folk Fest. I'm sure you remember this one.
Yeah,
at a workshop, you pulled out the Weekly World News and asked everybody to make up a verse based on a story from the Weekly World News.
Yeah, it was fun seeing Sarah Harmer get her head around that.
Oh, that was that was hilarious, and I just thought this is what a workshop at a folk fest should be about. So first of all, kudos to you for doing stuff like that. But I mean, do other people kind of get caught off guard when you do stuff like that? Because I mean, not a lot of other musicians even work that way or are that spontaneous, I suppose. But everybody in that particular workshop bit and it was really good. But I mean, do you do that kind of stuff often? Does that?
I try to think about that for those workshops. Yeah, because especially the workshops that tend to have a lot of songwriters, it tends to sort of end up being song, 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 and it's interesting to try to find a way of bringing everyone together. Obviously, you know, songwriters have a certain amount of gift for lyric writing. Most of them can come up with something relatively quickly, even if it's just a couple of lines. So I like to set stuff up like that for sure, and that was a particularly fun one.
That was for sure.
But even just making it point of picking songs that are simple so that everybody can play along, or
like Spider-Man.
Yeah,
well, that was Danny Michelle.
Danny Michelle did the Spider-Man thing. I relish those chances.
You're actually this weekend. You're teaching kids how to write songs.
Twice. I was signed up, I just did Arts Wells, this festival in BC, and I was supposed to teach kids songwriting with Chris Demeanor for kids, and no one came. It was like 1 o'clock, 1:32, no one was there. I was like, kids were playing on the street. No one came in, so they better come to this one.
That's not good,
damn it.
I mean, can I come too, or does it have to be just kids?
Well, I'd like it, yeah. I mean, I don't think it should be just for kids, because most adults are just as are far more stifled artistically than kids. They probably need it more.
The way it's described is: be silly, be serious, be absurd, explore wordplay, storytelling, and singing with Chris Demeanor.
Yeah.
And that's Saturday at 1 or Sunday at 10 a.m. Are you going to be okay with doing songwriting workshop at 10 a.m.?
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, thanks.
Who made that up?
Thanks, Devin.
Yeah.
Schedule organizer.
Devin's not performing until noon every day.
He'll be sleeping in. Yeah, I have a bag of tricks that I pull out for those songwriting things. I've done a lot of that in elementary school, so it shouldn't be too tricky. Basically, the trick is just to give over as much control of it to the kids. So it's just like, what do you want to write about? Fine, let's write it down. You know, what kind of style of music? Yell out some chords, and then we just write a song together, and you know, get him to sing and whack on something, and it's usually pretty fun.
And folks are also out there looking for your concert. It's Saturday at 8 o'clock on the main stage. Chantel's even doing a workshop, which I'm very excited to see. Chantel, of course, a fine performer and singer-songwriter in your own right. And but we don't see you as often as we see you with Chris. So tell us a bit about what you do. And
there was a Rocker Girl camp that I taught at this year and last year.
Those with Rochelle Van Zanten.
Yeah, Rochelle Van Zanten's brainchild. So that was awesome. We had 14 girls the first year, and this year we had 35 girls that participated in the 5-day program. So it was awesome. Guitar, bass, drums, vocals, keyboards, and then they all go into bands, and at the end of the week they perform in front of their friends and family. So.
Now,
pretty awesome.
I really hate to ask this question, but do girls still need sort of extra help or extra boost, or is it sort of? I mean, I would think that, you know, it's fairly open as far as there's lots of female role models, and I wouldn't think that women might be as scared to get into music as maybe they were 20 years ago or something. But obviously, you're doing something to nurture in particular female talent. Why is that?
Well, I think. I mean, I know that there are a lot of co-ed programs for kids.
Yeah.
But I think for Rochelle, you know, I think she personally wanted to see more girls playing guitar. And so we have people like Ellen McElwain and some really great women that come and teach the girls. And
yeah.
I think it's really positive.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
So how many girls were in this camp?
Well, in Calgary there were 35, but she does them in Victoria and Edmonton, and then she does one in northern BC as well. So the numbers go, I think, anywhere between like 20 and 40.
Wow. Some promising talent?
Yeah, absolutely. And the really dedicated families, like we had people come from Ontario and the Yukon to the one in Calgary. So. Yeah.
And what do you provide for the kids like there? Obviously, I mean, you're a role model, but what kind of advice or kind of, what do you do for them? Do you help them shape
their... Oh, we go through everything, like... attitude, professionalism, like bar chords, basic things like songwriting, writing lyrics, up to less tangible things,
yeah.
You know, like just how to be in a band, how to, you know, keep the peace, what you need to be a good musician.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
How have you managed to put up with Chris Demeanor for so long? I've always wanted to ask you that question.
Lots of pills. Lots of pills. I have a 5-year prescription that I carry with me.
I know when to buy her a slice of pizza.
Yeah, actually, that's what it comes down to. As long as I've got some carbs on my plate, I'm happy.
Yeah, some carbs and some cheese, you're all right.
Yeah.
You guys make such a great combination, though. You work so well together musically and personally. Like you both bring a lot to the live show and to the song. So it's obviously a partnership that has worked for a long time. So. Hopefully we see many more things to come.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
I think there's, yeah, that's,
I love you, man. Aww.
Aww. Like a song, for instance.
Yeah, well, let's show, yeah.
I won't make a request this time, because maybe you'll...
Well, it's a perfect buzz, because it's nice and loud and fast, and you can crank up the guitar a little bit. All right. One, two, three, four. Though getting loaded by three was me and Ronnie's explicit intent, the perfect buzz was partly strategy and partly accident. Acid gets me heady, and coke makes Ronnie mean, so we were playing safe with THC, alcohol, caffeine. We rose at 10 after a good night's sleep and filled the filter full of a freshly ground, dark roasted fair trade Costa Rican blend. Thick and black as oil, we sipped the pot back steady. The cobweb started clearing and our palms were getting sweaty. It was already 19 degrees, not a whisper through the trees. In the shade out back, I marveled once again at Ronnie's prowess rolling. He was extolling virtues of patience and practice. Absolutely no stocks. A sleek and filtered pinner of clean and uncut BC butt. I sucked back long and held it longer. Ronnie called me lungs, lying in the grass, sighing, exchanging grins. The world was more interesting than it actually is. I went on about the garden and the benefits of outdoor toil. Got on hands and knees, plucked the weeds, ran my fingers through the soil. Ronnie left, came back with two cold becks. Got four more, finished them between noon and
1 p.m. a calming swell rose up to meet the heady, frothy crest. The marriage flooded through our blood and brains and came to rest. For generations, Ronnie mused, monks have sought such balance, but theirs is quite a joyless road, and hail and swallow is my code. Hey, hey!
We finally found the perfect buzz. Everybody come and have a hit on us. We wish you all the same. Killing time and killing pain. Take a ride on the perfect bus. When it's looking harsh and bleak and ominous, or when it's going great, perfect buzz will accentuate.
Ronnie has a tortoise. We watched him eat a dandelion leaf. We found a half-deflated beach ball underneath the porch. Bounced it back and forth against the condo wall next door. Wall ball, we called the game. Played it until Gordon came. Checking out the Yamaha 250 that he just restored. I got him to explain the relationship between torque range and the intake manifold. He joined us for a blast. Topping up the buzz, drained another Bex fast. I talked about how fortunate we were to be living at this stimulating, fascinating juncture in history. Ronnie said, I see a world less innocent than what you say. Technology overkill, planetary decay. He said, they've canceled my insurance. I should really call Cherie. After Becky, I should probably get checked for HIV. Whoa, man, don't kill it. You get back to where you was. Don't you get pulled over to the dark side of the buzz. I got him on his feet. We headed down to 17th in a saunter. Shades on, casually ogling girls past a patio. Decided on sight. There's nothing on earth better than a patio pint. Hey, hey, hey!
We finally found the perfect bus. Everybody come and have a hit on us. We wish you all the same. Killing time and killing pain. Take a ride on the perfect bus. When it's looking harsh and bleak and ominous, or when it's going great, the perfect buzz will accentuate.
The air was still, still, so we found a couple balsa wood planes, a couple double espressos, and a park with a hill. Had a pipe hit, flew the planes until they busted. Played Who Do You Rather Sleep With until we both got disgusted. The sun was descending, we headed home and passed our landlord's house. Wrote on the sidewalk in chalk, Ernie is a patty sniffer. Saw the guy who used to do music reviews for the Sun. He'd take all the promotional CDs, pawn them for heroin. Our next door neighbor was a cop, smoked up, went off duty. He asked us for a pinch. We said, don't play with guns now, Jeff. Settling in lawn chairs in the backyard at dusk, a clarity and serenity bathing both of us. We laid the speakers in the grass and put on swordfish trombones, elected to bring it home with a South African Merlot. I remembered I still had a couple Xanax from my mom. Ronnie Rosen shook my hand. I love this life. I love you, man. Hey, hey!
We finally found the perfect buzz. Everybody come and have a hit on us. We wish you all the same. Killing time and killing pain. Take a ride on the perfect bus. When it's looking harsh and bleak and ominous, or when it's going great, the perfect bus will accentuate. We finally found the perfect bus. We finally found the perfect bus. We finally found the perfect bus. We finally found the perfect bus.
The king of fun, Chris Demeanor.
The king of fun.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what they say.
There's a reason why you have an album called Party All Night. And
well, yeah, try going on the road with Carolyn. Yeah, it becomes a reality.
I suppose so.
The party all nighter.
We haven't mentioned lately, but you're playing tonight with Carolyn Mark at the High and Lonesome Club.
Yes,
a fine place for you to be. You've played there a number of times, and I think I've been there pretty much each time, and have enjoyed them immensely. It's always fun.
It is.
So are Diane and Peter with you, or it's just you two?
Yeah, they're with us as well.
All right, so they'll be the whole crack band.
They're the whole crack band there tonight.
Tonight, and then at the Trout Forest Music Festival on the weekend.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention I was on your website. I can't really find it now, but there's a great video up there for one of my favorite songs. I've seen the future, and can you tell me about who made that video? It's brilliant. I think it's wonderful.
It's a Calgary-based animator named Cam Christensen. And he's a fantastic animator. He does amazing things, and I have no idea how. And he does, I mean, he does a fair amount of sort of, you know, corporate animation stuff for, you know, commercials for Mercedes and for clothing lines and stuff. But his, I mean, he really loves creative projects. And so when he gets the chance and has the time, he'll find a project to do. And so he basically just, you know, called me up and said, can I do a video for that song? Because I guess he, yeah, and it's interesting because it is a pretty, it's kind of interesting because it's a very literal, sort of interpretation of it, which I think works for that particular song. And he was interested in doing motion capture animation, so yeah. We actually had a session where he filmed me in a dark room in a black jumpsuit with fluorescent ping pong balls attached to all joints, and I did all these movements and stuff like that. And then I guess the idea is that the animation is somehow put over top of these sort of skeleton images of the movement, and they're more realistic if the joints are moving in realistic ways and stuff like that. So,
and I absolutely love that that song, that story. I think I'm gonna play it, you know, pretty soon if that's all right with you.
Absolutely.
And but before we do, what else is going on? What's in the future? Is there
The band and I have been doing, we did some more recording about a couple months ago with Ford Pier.
Oh yeah.
Who's, yeah, you know, played with Carolyn and with Veda Hilly and has his own great career and great songs. And we wanted to bring somebody into the process because we don't usually do that when recording. And it was good to have him there, just from everything from helping out with amp sounds and song arrangements and vocals and stuff. He was really helpful, and I think we sort of captured the band in real kind of full attack rock mode, which was really good. And you know, and then there are also some gentler songs as well, but it should be a really interesting project. And so I'm going to go back in August and finish after the Trout Forest Festival. I'm going to go back and do the vocals for that, and then I'm doing a lot more spoken word stuff too, like so I'm doing a spoken word festival in Edmonton and something in Fort McLeod, and going out to, I'm going to go out to Toronto for the screening of the video.
Oh yeah.
Of I Have Seen the Future, yeah. Is being premiered at the film festival in
Toronto. Oh, really?
In September. So that's, I'm going to go out and check that out, and so that, yeah, that should be good. And then just tour and plug away. I would definitely want to keep a foot in the theater world as well, because it's an exciting realm to be in. But so yeah, it's going to be a lot of different fun projects.
So, but keeping your hand in so many things, does that make it harder to sort of get people on board with one particular thing, or get your name out there as a singer songwriter when you're busy doing other things? Or is this sort of the necessity of the music industry, or is it the name of?
Well, I guess one could argue that, yeah, I mean, it would probably, if I just wanted to focus on the singer songwriter thing, it would probably make more sense to just tour relentlessly and just hit places, you know, a lot and focus primarily on that. And we have spent a lot of the last few years kind of doing that. Yeah. It is basically, yeah, I think, yeah, if that was the only thing that I wanted to get out there, that's what I would do. But it's, you know, I find I get just as much satisfaction out of a good spoken word show or a good theater thing as I do out of a club gig. They're all wonderful in their own ways. Yeah. And so I think it's, and if I did nothing but tour, I'd end up having a stroke.
Yeah. It's got to be good for you creatively to do all those different things.
It is. Well. It's good. It's good to collaborate. It's good to work with different people. It's, you know, it gets me thinking. It, because I find too, yeah, that you know, if it's all about the singer-songwriter thing and about songs, if not about me, then about the world through my eyes, and I'm always thinking about being creative in 3 to 5 minute, you know, chunks, and so thinking in other ways, I think, is really interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue to do that.
Excellent.
It's important to diversify.
for folks that want to see the video or anything else, chrisdemeanor.com, and that's DEMEANOR.com, or you're also on that there MySpace and all kinds of other things, or just come on down tonight to the High and Lonesome Club, Main and St. Mary, for what is sure to be a fun show.
Carolyn's got a new CD out too, so
which is fantastic.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So doing a lot of songs from that.
How do we work it tonight? Does one of you play first, or do you trade off?
I think the Crack Band will probably play first, but then we're also going to be playing in support of Carolyn, so we're kind of like her band as well.
Really?
And so then we may sort of then do a couple more of our tunes later in the night as well.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And yeah. It's cheap tonight, I understand, so no excuse to come on out. And if anybody hasn't decided yet, Ear Falls, have you ever been out to this festival? Heard anything about it?
I never have, no, but it sounds pretty great.
I've heard so many good things about it. I'm just dying to get out there because I hear it's just beautiful and it's reasonable and fun and laid back, and the lineup is pretty stellar. Lots of friends out there, I can tell. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's play it. I've Seen the Future, and thanks for being here, Chris.
Thanks so much. Congratulations on 5 years on the air.
It's been a lot of fun, and it's good to have you back. So we'll see you in another 5 years, I guess.
It was the perfect day for tennis. Dad and I were both inspired after watching Roger Federer make quick work of Leighton Hewitt. Our ground strokes were consistent and powerful beyond logic. And in the first set, I was serving like someone who's had lessons. There was flow, there was connection. The toss was slightly forward, my body leaning in anticipation of the volley. And in the second before contact, when I was in mid-swing, someone yelled, "Four!" The ball limped through the air and hit the bottom of the net. Three young men on bikes on the other side of the fence. I said, "That was very clever, but actually we're playing tennis."
"Fuck you!"
He retorted. I said, "That's very original." He said,
"That's very original."
And I asked him if he realized that he was mocking me, mocking him. I suppose this was confusing because he shouted at my dad next. He said,
"You look like Santa!"
And then he said,
"Nice hat!"
And though Dad's burgundy visor might be a little bit outdated, it was still a really lame insult, and clearly Dad and I were winning. I told them they were boring. I told them they were losers. I said, "Go find a hobby. You have no inner lives." I have seen the future, and I don't know what to blame. So I will wish it all the best and continue with my game. I flirted with the thought that I was being unfairly intolerant, that they were just at loose ends and naturally exuberant. Like all young men, showing off, full of bluff and bluster, practicing for a life in sales. I thought back to my own reckless youthful escapades, bushwhacking through the Devonian gardens, sneaking onto the Indian reserve and taunting free-range cattle, belching on crowded buses, throwing crab apples at cars, downing a 26er of rum and going to the Mormon dances, kicking the soap dispensers off the bathroom walls, sticking the DJ's mixtapes down the front of my pants. I thought, who wasn't a little asshole? I have seen the future, and I don't know what to blame. So I will wish it all the best and continue with my game. They hung out by the hockey rink, yelling incomprehensibly. They made three dirty snowballs, came back and threw them at us. Their language became fouler and sexually aggressive. They would do sick things to my family, and Dad and I were a couple. Dad said,
"Run along, boys. Your mommy's calling you for dinner."
They responded to his accent by calling him a border jumper.
"Back to where you came from, you fucking immigrant."
Dad said,
"I imagine things have changed quite a bit in Frankfurt since 1955.
I approached them very calmly and asked them in all earnestness, "What makes you want to come here and antagonize two strangers who are minding their own business and just trying to play some tennis?" And after a short pause, the red-faced ringleader said,
"'Cause it's funny!'
And then they rode off.
Dad said with chagrin,
"They must have learned that stuff from their parents."
I said, "Don't forget, Dad, we are in Calgary South." And though we carried on, it was clear we were distracted, both of us fantasizing about clubbing them with our rackets. And Dad believes in justice, and I believe in hell, and we believe that reckoning comes down within ourselves. And I have seen the future, and I don't know what to blame, so I will wish it all the best and continue with my game. I'll continue with my and lice, gruesome drunken accidents. They cried and cursed nature and God until they sampled Polynesia's shores, women and breadfruit. For ages now, recent discoveries chasing us, the adventurers. Chocolate and lust. The crown sent Mackenzie's men over foothill and avalanche with wineskins and sextants to fight fever. Pig and ticks finally follow the Fraser through toes in the ocean. For ages now, recent discoveries chasing us, the adventurous chocolate. We'll be right back.
pick just one thing. It's why I don't have a tattoo. I take all over nothing. It's always me and you and you. What's the use of one of something? One of anything's no good. How do you choose just one tree when you're in love with the woods? It's funny to do the math when you're running with the pack. But running ain't no laugh, cause one of anything's just a half. One of anything's just a half. If everything could mean something, the whole life that you live, how do you pick just one thing when you got so much left to give? Some hearts can be lifted with just one little finger. Others seem so heavy that they dream of a small tear. Frustration at those desert island questions. It's hard to pick a side when you know the other dies. When you know the other dies. Oh, I could never pick just one thing. It's why I don't have a tattoo. I take all over nothing. It's always me and you and you. It's always me and you and you. It's always me and you and you. And you and you. And you and you and you. And you, 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 not you, you, get in the cab.
Words and words, on the page appear. Say, where's the love? Oh, my dad.
Elliott Brood, they're gonna rock the woods. the woods are gonna be shaken when the Brood Boys take the stage on Saturday night, 11 o'clock, I think it is.
11 o'clock.
You got my schedule there.
Yeah, I do. Sorry.
Doing a couple of things, and Elliott Brood is a party no matter where you go. Hopefully, some of you saw them at the Winnipeg Folk Festival, and those who did and those who didn't, I'm sure, will be at the West End Culture Center. I believe October 27th.
Yes, it is. I looked at it today. It should be a dandy.
So, yeah.
There's a few new things on that site, too, right? Dustin Bentall was put up there, and a few.
Yeah, but check out WECC.ca for all the details.
Of course, my big news, and I said I was going to the mountain.
And then you're
going to
leave town.
I had to go right to the top, my Dalai Lama.
I don't get it.
Uncle Jeff.
You've been trying to bring this guy to town. And
I know.
I don't know.
We're talking about Steve Forbert, and he's coming. He's finally coming. I've followed him all over the world, and sometimes he doesn't even show up. I'm there. He decides he's not going.
He finds out you're there, and then he doesn't go. He
cancels. Yeah. He's finally here, five doors down from me, and I'm leaving that day. What can you do?
That is some bad planning on your part. That's what that is right there. We got a few more minutes. What should we play? Should we?
Do you want to
play from the Hurdy Gurdy Man?
Or? He does. Is it a Wilco? It's a Wilco tune, isn't it?
Really, Wilco's coming to town on Wednesday.
Well, notice, the foreshadowing I did there. Is that a Wilco tune he's doing? Or did I just make that up in my little mind?
I think you might have made that up.
No, isn't it written by them? I could have made that up though. It wouldn't have been the first time.
Oh, look,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. See how that all fit in together. And he's on Lost Highway now, so the kid's making it. What's up with that?
Yeah. He does wondering where the lions are.
Well, stay away from that, I think.
It makes. Oh, I see. It's all covers.
Yeah.
Okay. Covers of Bruce Coburn, Wilco, Dr. John, Creedence, the Band, and Bob Dylan.
Yeah. So I thought, Wilco's coming to town. We'll play the Wilco cover.
All right.
We could be in trouble on this one, which wouldn't be the first time, right?
No. Definitely not. It's brand new from Donovan Frankenreiter. Now, this isn't the Hurdy Gurdy Man, right?
No, the Hurdy Gurdy Man is. No, he's left the building. He's gone.
All right, here's something from Wilco playing on Wednesday at the Walker Theater.
Theologians, they don't know nothing about my soul, about my soul. I'm an ocean, an abyss in motion, in slow motion, slow motion. Literati lumen fide, God is with us every day. That literary light is with us every night. Theologians that don't know nothing about my soul, all they don't know. My heart with little things and my life with change. So many ways I find more missing every day. Theologians, they don't know nothing about my soul. Oh, they don't know. For me, for where I'm going, you cannot come. No one's gonna take my life from me. I lay it down, and a ghost is born. A ghost is born. Thank you.
I'm in ocean, I'm all emotion, and all my cherry goes, my cherry goes, oh yeah, cherry goes, I said I'm a cherry goes.
All the kids are raving about the new album from Wilco, Sky Blue Sky, and I like it even in spite of the fact that Gian Gomeshi likes it. Like, usually as soon as Gian Gomeshi likes something, I just have to hate it, but...
Careful, Corky likes Gian.
Really? He's the greasiest man alive.
I know, and he almost took over the folk festival.
Oh, I hate that guy.
His big saying... peace, love, peace.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing there's no...
Gian, if you're listening, I hate you.
There was no rocks at the festival.
I don't hate anybody. I'm a peaceful guy. I hate Gian Gomeshi. I hate him.
After all the nice things he said about you.
No, he's never said a nice thing about anybody. He's a prick. I hate that guy.
He's a little annoying, but very rich now, I would think.
Oh, that just sickens me.
Don't you think?
I don't... we shouldn't be talking about...
you're just getting all worked up now. Boil.
No, I'm having a good day, and you're ruining it.
You know, I don't want to see any attempted murder. What is attempted murder? Like, you know, think about it. They don't give out a Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry. What is attempt? You know, what is going on? When, give me a break.
Yeah, if you're gonna do it, just
yeah. Attempted murder.
Before that, Donovan Frankenreiter.
Ritter.
His new album, Recycle Recipes. Recycled Recipes. Who does he look like? He kind of looks like somebody.
I thought he looked like you when he had your beard. That's right. But you shaved
looks like
off.
Darcy Yates a little bit, but I don't know. Who else does he look like? I don't know. Oh, I got a call. I should mention, I got a call today from our friend Dan Walsh.
Oh, how's Dan doing? Is he coming to town?
Yeah, they're coming in on the show again in September. Him and Brock Zeman.
Oh, you know what? I really enjoyed Brock.
Yeah, so there you go. They're playing September the 1st, I believe, and then September the 2nd they're playing at Candor, I think.
And they're coming in when?
And then they're coming on their way back at the end of the September.
Oh, okay. So they're
29th, I believe.
Okay, very cool. Yeah. Always a pleasure to have Dan and Brock on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a guitar playing wizard.
Yeah. So I don't know what else is going on, T-Bar, but we got to wrap it up.
I guess so. That's it, eh?
I wanted to mention one of our listeners called. Apparently, like I used to listen to this band years and years ago. Audience is playing at the Great Woods Music Festival this weekend.
When you said that, I couldn't believe that.
You know, The House on the Hill?
Yeah.
That song, I Had a Dream. I love that song.
Yeah,
it's an incredible song.
But I didn't know they were alive.
I know. But they're back, and they're playing at the Great Woods Music Festival this weekend. And apparently, they're playing tonight in Winnipeg somewhere at some new, as yet unnamed bar. But we don't know where it is or what it's called or anything about it. So if you know where Audience is playing, just give us a call here.
It's some weird guy's basement or something.
I don't know. Anyways, if you can't find Audience, come on out to the High and Lonesome Club, Main and St. Mary. Chris Demeanor and Chantel.
Absolutely.
Metalis, along with Diane Cooch and Peter
Mahler. My buddy Diane Cooch broke my heart, didn't come in today.
I know.
Jeez,
we'll
get a kiss.
We'll find out why tonight. And and then on the weekend, the big festival.
Big festival for you. You got to get packed up, get your tent aired out.
That's right. Well, that's been airing out for a couple days.
Shake out the dead gophers out of that tent. Yeah, probably haven't had that unpacked for about 10 years. I know you.
It's been a while. You're going to Regina, and then will we reconvene here next Thursday to compare stories?
Oh, I'm going to have some stories.
I'll have some NQR Buckle stories.